Let's pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the attitudes of our hearts, all our hearts, be acceptable not just while we are here, but more importantly, when we leave. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Luke, the 10th chapter, the 25th through the 37th verses. Hear now the word of God. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers and stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, today we close out this series of sermons on the road in a beautiful neighborhood. We began this journey, as you remember, from the videos of Mr. Rogers, how Mr. Rogers was Mr. Rogers when he could have been somebody else. And then the next week we watched Mr. Rogers humble himself and apologize to his grandson for bringing his anger to the fun that his grandsons were having. And when he apologized, he received a gift, a beautiful gift from his grandson. He received forgiveness. Last week, we learned that you cannot judge a book by his cover, but we continually do it time and time again, don't we? We judge a book by its cover, even in this scripture reading. They were judging a book by its cover. And so today, we look at compassion. We look at compassion. It's an interesting thing how we do this. Several weeks ago, Susan Anderson, who's sitting there next to my wife, gave me a book by Sean Dietrich. He's a guy from Alabama. He writes similar to Louis Grizzard, the late Louis Grizzard. And in that book are these very short little articles, and he tells a story. He was in the grocery store, and in front of him was an 8-foot-tall boy who weighed, as he said, 110. 110 pounds, 8-foot-tall, that's the way he looked, probably all arms and legs, all boy. He had a 2-pack of Reese's Cups. Y'all know what those are. The best thing you can have unless you got a peanut allergy. And he's digging for money to pay for these Reese's Cups. And he's digging. And Sean knows that he doesn't have the money. And he says, "Need a little money?" "Yeah." And then he says, "Can I get a Mountain Dew too?" You know, a Reese's Cup is good when you get to wash it down with a Mountain Dew. And yeah, okay. And so the guy runs off, and everybody's waiting patiently for the long, tall drink of water to get back. And he comes back, and he's got a Mountain Dew and a second Reese's Cup. He said, "You must be really hungry, 2 Reese's Cups and a Mountain Dew." He said, And the guy smiles at Sean and says, the second one's for you. The guy didn't know he wanted to buy two Reese's Cups, but he did want to buy two Reese's Cups. And then a few pages over, he tells the story. He comes into a parking lot, and there's a woman, a mother, trying to get her babies, screaming babies, into the back of the car, and she has this look like her world is about to collapse on top of her. And he asks, you're okay? Do you need anything? And she says, my car won't crank. And so he had heard this story before as he was growing up, because his dad, he was a kind of a mechanic, and he would always ask people, you having trouble? Can I help you? And so he said, well, pop the hood. And so the lady popped the hood, and as he says, luckily for her, it was the battery. And he jumps her off. And he says, give it a try, and of course it cranks. And he's helping her get her groceries into the car, and she tries to give him $20. And he says, no, I don't need that. No, I didn't do it. You would have done that for me. And she said, no, I wouldn't. And he looks at her children, and then he says, she's a liar. He believed she would have helped him the way she loved her children. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we not do the things we're supposed to do? Why do we wait for somebody else to do what we should be doing? We have the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a great story. It could have been the parable of the priest who was too lazy. Or the Levite who didn't cross. You'd have to ask the question, why did the Levite not cross the road? Or why didn't the priest not cross the road? You have to ask yourself those questions. Now, I don't know if y'all know this, but if you're in Israel, it doesn't matter where you are in Israel, if you're going to Jerusalem, you go up to Jerusalem. And if you're in Jerusalem going anywhere else in Israel, you go down. It's kind of a strange thing. I said this at the first service. If I was going to New York, I'd say I'm going up to New York. If I'm going to California, I'm going out to California. If I'm going to Florida, I'm going down to Florida, right? It has more to do with geography than anything, but altitude is what it has in Israel. And so it says this man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and they stole his clothes and then beat him till he was half dead. The interesting things, I don't know if you've seen this in the news. Have y'all ever seen where somebody was robbed of their clothes in Atlanta lately? Fall among thieves and they steal you naked. Have you? Has anybody seen where anybody was mugged and they took their clothes off of them? Well, the reason they did that then is because the only thing they had of value were their clothes. Didn't need a walk-in closet for all the clothes you had or the ones you're wearing. Most people had one change of clothes and they wore it. So think about that for a moment. And the way that your clothes looked, what they were made out of, what the color they were, if you would have been lucky enough to know Lydia, who made, so what color fabric? Oh, okay, good, thank you. There are people reading that, thank you. She would have sold them some purple. The longer the robe or the gown or the train of the gown, the more power, prestige you have, right? How many of you are old enough to see video of Queen Elizabeth being coronated or Queen Elizabeth being married to Prince Philip? That long dress filling up, right? Or King Charles, I can't remember if he had a long robe. I know they probably did, and had people carrying it for him, because I know he wasn't strong enough to carry it himself. That was bad. Lord, forgive me. But even Isaiah 6 says there, I saw the Lord high and exalted in the temple, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Power, authority. You have it, the longer the train of your robe will be. All this guy had was his clothes. And then they beat him till he was half dead. I believe it says that the priest was going down the road. I'm going to say he was leaving Jerusalem. Does that make sense? He was going down the road. If he was going up, I think it would have said he was going up the road. But it says he was going down the road. I think he was leaving Jerusalem. He had just got off work from the temple. He was a priest. My guess is he had a little compassion fatigue. Y'all ever had compassion fatigue? Have you? Y'all ought to go in ministry. It could have been that place where he had done all he could do. He had worked his week in the temple. He was exhausted, and he sees this man on the side of the road, and he looks and he says, that's going to take more time than I have. I really want to get home to my wife. I want to get home to my lazy boy. Lord, forgive me, but I'm going to leave, let him lie. Now, the man's naked. He wouldn't even walk across the road, turn him over to see if he was Jewish or not. Because if he was naked, he would be able to tell if he was circumcised or not. If he was circumcised, he'd have been a Jew. If he was not uncircumcised, he'd be a Gentile. Wouldn't even turn him over. And he kept walking. Then it says a Levite comes. I think the Levite was going to the temple. Maybe when he got to him, the man wasn't moving. If he touched him, he'd be ceremonially unclean and would not be able to do his job in the temple. And you stop and you think and you say, well, they all have good reasons for not doing anything. Y'all ever justify what you're doing or haven't done? Do you? Or is it just me? I mean, I'm doing 80. I didn't see that. I didn't see anybody sitting by the side of the road. I got to get to the church. I don't have time to stop and help this person. How many excuses can we come up with for not doing the right thing? Y'all sure are quiet. And then comes the Samaritan. Samaritans have bad names. They're bad. Bad connotation. It happened at the division of the northern and the southern kingdom. They became something else. They had all those bad kings. They worshipped other gods. They did allowed things they should not allow in their up in the north. As if Judah was much better. But when the fall of the northern kingdom happened to the Assyrians brought in people, and then they began to intermarry, and then the Jewish people of Judah, they basically said they're half-breeds. Not only do they not do what they're supposed to do, they aren't capable. When Jesus is at the well with the Samaritan woman, you aren't supposed to stop there in Samaria. You go around Samaria. And here is this Samaritan. Could be that the Samaritan had suffered through what that man was dealing with. I don't know. You don't know. All we know is he had compassion. His nakedness didn't bother him. Whether he was Jewish or not Jewish didn't bother him. He had compassion. He put oil on his wounds and wine, and he put him on his donkey, and took him to an inn. Stayed with him overnight. Paid 2 days worth of room and said, I'll come back and make it good. He did what he was supposed to do. He did what he was supposed to do. He had compassion. And when Jesus finished the story, Jesus asked that expert in the law, who was righteous? Well, the one who had compassion, the one who had mercy, that's who. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer kind of says this, and this is my interpretation of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said in Mere Christianity. If he was really an expert in the law, he wouldn't have asked that question. He would have known that he was supposed to be the neighbor. The man was supposed to be their neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Everybody is your neighbor because we're neighbors. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We're the ones who are supposed to be neighborly in all times, in all places. Who's supposed to have compassion? We are. Now, this is a story of me. I didn't get stripped on the side of the road by any stretch of imagination, thank God. But when I was a senior in high school, my dad bought me a 1973 Vega, Chevrolet Vega. It was a powerful car, had a four-cylinder. It was, it had no air conditioning. It had an AM radio in it, and it had roll-down windows. And so we used to call it the 255 air conditioning system. You get up to 55 miles an hour and roll down the window, and you would feel like it was working. Couldn't hear anything, but that's what we did. I take it to school at Georgia Southern, and sometime in the spring, my inspection sticker. You remember when Georgia had those inspection stickers? Anyway, mine was going out at the end of the month. I was home. I went to get my inspection sticker renewed. They were checking all the things, all the lights, all the wipers, and they stuck a gauge on my tire, and I didn't have enough tread, and this person with this razor blade scraped off my inspection sticker that had 3 more weeks worth of inspection. I couldn't drive the car. I go to a tire place, they don't have the tires. They weren't going to be able to order them till Monday, and I wasn't going to be able to get the car till the next week. So I had to catch a ride back to Statesboro. And on Thursday, I found out all that, or Wednesday, I found out all of the stuff was ready to go. I'm 96 miles from home. So I, in my brilliant state of mind that I had back then, I decided I was going to hitchhike from Statesboro, Georgia to Thompson, Georgia. Had all this rash, it was great. I decided I would wear tennis shorts, a fraternity jersey, and a visor, tennis shoes. I'd have my driver's license and a $5 bill. If they were going to beat me up or steal from me, they weren't going to get much. And I didn't want them to think I had a backpack or anything with carrying all kind of stuff that could hurt anybody. What they saw was what they got, you know, me walking down the road. So I got somebody to take me about 4 miles out of town and let me out on the road to Millen, and I started hitchhiking. I'd see a car coming toward me, and I'd be doing this number, and as they passed and nobody's behind them, I'd start walking. And I would do that. Not long after I started doing that, a farmer picked me up and carried me all of a mile and a half down the road. He was going home. So he let me out at his driveway, and I started walking again. Somebody else picked me up. 2 or 3 people picked me up, and I think I got maybe 10 miles. Then this guy in a muscle car picks me up, and I thought he was okay when he stopped. And then he started driving, and I was about afraid for my life. He was talking kind of crazy, and I'm thinking, I'm praying that the red light in Millen, Georgia is red when I get there. And luckily I was, and I jumped out of the car at the red light. Thank you. I'm going to go over here. I was scared. And after I knew that person was gone, I went back to Thummim. I get about 5 or 6, 7 miles out of Waynesboro. I'm not sure. It was a lot of walking. Felt like it was. And somebody picked me up. They were going to Augusta. So they took me to Waynesboro and let me out at the red light because I was going to Renz. I take off. So I'm doing the Thummim again, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm tired. I feel like I'd walked 20 miles. It was no water, no anything to drink. I was just, it was, and so I was walking, and nobody was coming down the road. And when they finally would come down the road, they just keep on going. And finally somebody picked me up and took me a little ways, and in between Renz and Waynesboro is a dip in the road. It's such a dip in the road. If you're coming from Waynesboro and you're doing 75 miles an hour, your car will leave the ground when you hit the dip. That's where I was. And I was thumbing, and I see this truck come. And it's a construction vehicle. It was a big pickup truck, 4-door pickup. And as the truck is getting to me, there, all I can see in the truck are these 2 massive African-American guys. And I'm thinking, okay. And they go over the dip, and they stop. And so I jog up there, and they said, where you want to go? I said, well, if you're going to Renz, I want to ride to Renz, but I eventually want to get to Thompson. They said, we're going to Thompson. And then he said, where do you want to go in Thompson? I said, to Broom's Florist. And they said, that's on my way home. Hop in. And I said, I'll just jump in the back of the truck. He said, no, get up here with us. I said, okay. So I'm sitting in the middle between these 2 big guys and the guys in the back. I promise you, the smallest person in the car was me by 100 pounds. They were average. They were probably, they could have started for Georgia. They were probably 6'4", 280 in minimum. And we were... And the guy, he was funny. He said, he made this comment. He said, I wasn't going to pick you up. I didn't want to be, I didn't. And then I saw you and saw us, and I thought, oh, we can handle him. And I'm just thinking, you're right. You can handle me, that's for sure. And they took me all the way home. And all I had in my pocket, and I was sad to say this, all I had in my pocket was $5 to give them. And the more I think about all the Good Samaritans who took a chance on me one afternoon long, long time ago, and the generosity of people that helped me get, it only took 4 hours to get there, 5 hours to get those 96 miles, but it was an unbelievable blessing. And after my dad got through talking to me very plainly, I will never do that again. And I will not encourage anybody to do that again. But he said, did you do anything for the guys that brought you home? I said, I gave them all the money I had. I gave them $5. He said, who are they? I said, I don't know. I don't know. But I wish I could have given more. But I gave them all I got. But the beauty is the compassion that people have for you. And how it can change not only their day, but your day. Doing something nobody expects you to do. And you think of the judge who knew the story of a soldier with PTSD who was going to spend the night in a cell. And that cell was going to turn into a vehicle in Afghanistan with water in it. And you think, can we stop long enough to walk across the road? Why did the Christian cross the road? To share a little compassion. We got to be willing to stop and cross the road. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the Samaritans, the good Samaritans in our lives who stopped and crossed the road and shared compassion with us. May we have enough time in our life, margins in our life, to be willing to stop, to share compassion, to share love, to share you. Lord, may we be truly yours, no matter where we are. May we be willing to forgive, and may we be willing to seek forgiveness for ourselves, and may we be willing to extend forgiveness. Help us to not be so judgmental. Give everyone a break. And may we always be compassionate. Because in every day we don't know what everybody's going through. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.